You. Beautiful time of worship. Wow, the place is a bit sparse today, but hey, God is here. In fact, why don't I want to welcome some friends here from Bible College. Hyunok and husband. Yeah, would you like to stand? Yeah, give him a hand. Visiting us, wonderful. Is there any other, do you want to say anything? Welcome. Koreans, they're Koreans. You want to say something?
안녕하세요. 예배 드릴 때 하나님께서 이곳에 함께 계시는 그러한 마음으로 눈물이 나더라고요. 예배가 참 귀하다라는 걸 감사한 예배였어요.
Tearing up, as you can see, you know, she just felt the presence of God here, so she's very thankful for the worship service like this.
새로운 곳에 와서 하나님을 또 다시 새롭게 만나는 그런 좋은 예배의 시작을 느껴서 감사했습니다.
Likewise, very happy to feel the presence of God and to you know, start with God's presence on Sunday. So, yeah, give them a hand. Yeah. You know, Hyunok is a top student, you know, in the Bible College. Is there anyone else here visiting us for the first time? Hey, let's give him a hand. Yeah. Hey, welcome. What's your name?
Charles.
Charles. Where are you from?
Philippines.
Philippines. Hey, give him a Philippines. Welcome.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you, my friend. I love Filipinos. Filipinos can sing. I just came back 2 months ago from Philippines. Doing a conference, I've got lots of Filipino friends. They know how to worship God. So it's good to see you here. Okay, shall we get into the Word, or do you want to say hello and take 5 minutes break? What's your preference? I should never ask, right? I should just do it. In fact, why don't we just go around and mingle, say hello for just a few minutes. Just for a few minutes. 2-3 minutes. Say hello to someone. Shake hands with somebody. It's good. Make everybody feel home. Steve? Yeah, good. Finishing off school?
Yeah.
This week?
Two more weeks.
Nearly. It's almost there. What's your plan? Going away?
Okay.
What's your plan? Going away or staying?
Christmas? We're going just over New Year's, we'll be with Sarah's family.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the holidays, we'll be away for a week just with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna go away in January, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I haven't decided yet, but probably just drive up the North Coast of New South Wales for about a week.
Yep.
And the other week, we'll probably pretend we are away, but stay home and just go to the city and eat well.
Yeah.
Switch up the phone. James, my friend, how are you? So good to see you. I love you. You're a beautiful man, too. Love you. You're part of our family. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I love you, brother.
I love you, too, brother.
Yeah. So maybe stay in the methadone a little bit longer, so... I'm still there, a little bit.
Okay.
I've got about 2 months, about this much to go.
Okay. Wow. You're getting off it. You're getting there.
Yeah. I want to get off it.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I don't want no more drugs, brother.
Yeah.
I'm finished.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Jesus is too good.
Yeah. God's got a plan, wonderful plan for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Love to hear your testimony one day. Yeah.
How are you? How are you, Suching? Just want to give you a hug.
My heart loves you.
Been thinking of you. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right.
Monkey passed away last night.
Oh dear. No. Good to see you, Ken. Hi, Ken. How is Susanna? Is at home or is still in the hospital? All right. Let's get back and we got started in the Word. Just thank you for visiting Steve Chong, praying for him. Many of you visited him, and he was so surprised to see so many of you visiting him in the hospital. He's out from the hospital, and he's recovering well. But, you know, he's taking some break, right?
Just
Ah, okay. So they're taking a break, recouping. So praise God, he's well. Remember, Susanna is still in hospital. So let's continue to pray for Susanna. Kim's still recovering at home. She's, Mom, how's Mom doing? Okay? That's good. That's good. Last night we had also another Korean special Bible study where I translated Eddie and Sonia ministering to beautiful Koreans. And they were so open, you know, some beautiful tears and hunger. So we just really appreciate it. I mean, it's so amazing that they don't understand each other, right? But it feels like you just, they're just right in. They just feel so at home. Just love Eddie and Sonia. They know when they're loved. So love of God transcends language. And it was just lovely to see, you know, David and Ellen. They come with food and picking people up and praying for them. So give them a hand. Really good job. Yeah. 감사합니다. 감사합니다. Thank you so much for ministering to Koreans and others. All right, let's get to today's text. I've never preached from this text before, but we are going right through the book of Luke. So we're going to get into Jesus, baptism, and genealogy. So turn to Luke chapter 3. We're going to read right through from verse 21 to 38. If you dare to read with me, join me. About 90% of the text today is names of the people who begot who. But we're going to trust the Lord to speak to us from every part of the scripture that is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. So verse 23 or verse 21, are you ready? Ready? Okay. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven came which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Verse 23, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Negai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Shemei, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, son of Joannas, son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Nerai, the son of Melchi, the son of Edai, the son of Kosam,
the son of Elmodam, the son of Ur, the son of Jose, or some people may read it Jose, depending on where you're coming from, son of Eliezer, the son of Jorim, the son of Methatat, the son of Levi, is that right? The son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonan, son of Eliakim, son of Meliah, the son of Manan, the son of Metatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, ooh, the fish guy, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, son of Sheruk, the son of Ru, son of Peleg, the son of Eba, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Alphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Hallelujah. I dare you, I challenge you to read this right through without mistake. That'll be your diploma course. All right. I'm not going to get into each person and get into a sermon, so don't worry about it. But see, this is Jesus' baptism and genealogy. And this is important also. There are other many great men of God who around the age of 30, sometime between 20, 25 to about 30, you're in a time usually in searching for the meaning of life, purpose. What am I here for? Because until then, you are brought up, fed by parents, provided for. But around the age of 20, it used to start much earlier. In fact, in Jesus' case, you know what he was on about at the age of 12. All Jesus wanted to do and want to be was in the presence of God, in the house of God, doing the Father's business. At the age of 12, he knew where he was going. His heart was set. But a lot of people begin to get some kind of, not everybody, a lot of people begin to seek. And it is very, very important that we understand who we are, why we are here, and where we are from, both from our family background, your genealogy, and what the Father speaks of you, God's plan and purpose for your life. It is very, very important that your heart is in alignment and in agreement with divine vertical line that comes down from heaven and then tells you who you are, your identity, and heaven's approval of your life. Who you are. Until that happens, people can search into their 40s and 50s and 60s and never find peace, never find plan and purpose. Lesser form of life is that we are being driven by urges. Horizontal line of the stuff that has been put in, our mental and requirement, our fleshly desires, we are driven by our inner urges, but never connect with the voice that comes down from heaven. And we float, and then at the end, we know we wasted our life. We can put good spin, but we know our life has not hit the mark. But Jesus was different. And Jesus sets a standard by which all of us can aspire to. Now, none of us, I guess it's by grace of God. Bible makes it very clear that God has predestined you, set you, determined where you will be born, and called you And we all call to God at different time. You met God at different times. So we are not to penalize if you came to the Lord relatively late, because God knows when you came, and you know, God has grace and plan for you, whoever you are, wherever you're from. And when you come to the Lord, God the Father gives you same identity and your calling. And your background must connect with voice from heaven. So this is what it's all about, see? Jesus, I mean, most people, most of us, when we find the will of God, we go on doing it for many, many years. Jesus prepared for about 30 years. In fact, by the age of 12, Jesus knew that he wanted to do the will of God, but it wasn't ready yet. God's timing wasn't ready. So he went home with his parents. We only see the little bits and pieces of Jesus. 8 days we saw Jesus' circumcision, 30 days Jesus' dedication, and 12 in the temple. So 18 years have passed, and we know nothing for these 18 years. Jesus didn't receive high education system from the system, but God prepared Jesus doing mundane carpentry work, mostly looking after his own family, and Joseph's business, probably by being a beautiful, responsible family man as the eldest son and eldest brother when Joseph passed away, most probably early on. So now, curtain opens again, and then you hear John preaching. He is on the national scene. His message is taking the country by storm. John is preaching in the desert, baptizing people into the River Jordan. John preached repentance, and he prepared people for the king who is coming, and he is going to appear soon. And I went through that last week, so I'm not going to go through all of that. But more and more people are taking trip into the desert to hear John speaking, and they're coming back, and the word is spreading. And practically everybody went to hear John and to prepare their hearts by preparing their hearts to repentance. And then they were getting baptized into muddy river Jordan. Jesus was one of the very few. He didn't go up to see John preach in the desert. He stayed and he remained at home while all the others went and came back baptized. And the Bible says Jesus didn't go up until after all the people were baptized. Practically, the word has gone right through all of Israel. Everybody responded to John one way or other. And many people responded, even people in authority. They respected John because there was a voice of God that was coming down from John. That was authoritative and powerful. After everybody had a chance to hear John preach and responded to John, finally, Jesus went up to be baptized. And there is not a word about his identity, that Jesus indeed is the king John is preaching about. But Jesus went to see John, and he was being baptized by John. Now, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When Jesus reached about age 30, Father must have said, okay, now you can hang up your tools. You can leave the shop, and now you can go to do the Father's business. Safely, we can presume that Jesus had, I'll take this off because it gets in the way, Jesus had left his carpentry business with one of the Abel brothers, and then he hung up the tools for the last time, and he left his hometown, Nazareth, and went down. The first thing he did was to be baptized by John. The next time that Jesus connects, associates with hammer and nails is when the people
nailed him on the cross. But now, Jesus is launching his ministry in the dirtiest river in Israel, in that region, River Jordan. And then Jesus, see, this is the first act of Jesus getting into to do the will of God, to serve the Lord, was to get baptized. And it was his choice. It was his voluntary choice at the age of 30. See, priest, if you're born of the priest family, when you turn 30, you enter into the priestly ministry. When Jesus turned 30, the voice of God came, now it's time. And he hung up the tool. But the first thing Jesus did was not to preach, not to do things, but to be baptized by John in the River Jordan. He submitted himself to John's baptism in obedience to God's word. However, baptism for Jesus was his choice, but not his needs. Jesus had no sin to be repented of. If anyone doesn't have to be baptized, that's Jesus. But Jesus submitted himself to be baptized. So this raises a question then, why did Jesus get baptized by John when the law doesn't require Jesus to be baptized? See, it started with John in the wilderness as a preparation to receive the ultimate Messiah and the promise. Why start with baptism, and why Jesus, who doesn't need to be baptized? See, John said, you should baptize me. I need to be baptized by you. But you're coming to baptize me. Which raises a question, maybe, was John baptized at all? Nobody maybe baptized him. But anyway, Jesus, who doesn't need to be baptized, get baptized. So why? Oh, well, we can have a little bit of thinking here. First of all, you know, I believe it's to do with Jesus' ministry is in line. They are associated together with John, see? Before you come to faith and receive John, you are prepared by repentance. You feel, I'm done. I'm through with sin. I've got to deal with my sin. I've got to deal with my past. When you make that choice and you turn away, bury your past, bury your sin, bury yourself, that's a start of strengthening and then starting your heart. You're getting your heart ready to meet the Messiah. It prepares you for true faith. So it's association with John, see? John came just 6 months before Jesus, and they were both visited by same angels. So definitely, Jesus standing in the line of John's message. Whatever God commissioned John to do and to prepare people, Jesus is coming in the same prophetic tradition, same prophetic voice. But another meaning could be, now it marks the beginning, separation from the past. See, that's what baptism means. Baptism means you are separated from your past. Jesus was separated out from his Nazareth home base. And then now, he's detached from all that. His number one priority is the voice of God and to do the will of God. And he went out of his hometown. And his family circle, his family priorities became number two. The ministry that God called him became number one priority and his voice. So he's set himself apart. You remember one of the messages of Jesus when the family members came, they are looking for you. And Jesus says, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is mother? My mother? He who does the will of my Father, he's my brother, my sister, my mother. So it was a new start. It's a start that's clean slate. Clean slate. Bury the past, and the number one priority and allegiance goes to God. Okay? But there's one more. It could be the inspiration for his disciples. It is like, if Jesus is baptized, how much more do we need to be baptized? How much more we need to get our heart ready? If Jesus showed an example by obeying the commandment of God, the voice of God, and then we who are following Jesus, how much more we are to follow him into the baptism of repentance and baptism of our own burial, our death, and then resurrection life that Jesus had done. See, Jesus said, John said, this is not right. Jesus said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And that means he's saying it is the right thing to do. It doesn't feel right. Jesus doesn't need to be baptized. That's right. Jesus is bigger. John should be baptized by Jesus. That's all correct, but it is fitting. It is right. It is right thing to do that Jesus get baptized by John the Baptist. Why? It's because this is the big one. Jesus wanted to be identified with sinners. Amen. Jesus, sinless, man of God, Lamb of God, the Son of God, he wanted to be counted among the transgressors. Jesus says, put me in that water among the rest of the sinners. Number me among the sinners and transgressors. And you know what? Isaiah 53 says, Jesus was numbered among transgressors and sinners. Jesus wanted to identify with us, wanted to be one with us. He wanted to connect with us. He wanted to become one with us. He plunged into the pool of sin so that he can become one with us, so that we can identify with Jesus and become one with him when we get baptized in Jesus. Bible says, don't you know, when you were baptized, you were baptized into Jesus. You're plunged into Jesus' presence. So in the Old Testament, people were baptized into Moses. John's baptism was baptism to John's message, repentance. But we are not just baptized for repentance. It's more. We are plunged into Jesus. We are baptized into Jesus' death and then Jesus' resurrection. And key for Christians to experience life of resurrection, free from sin, free from our flesh, is identification with death of Jesus, cross of Jesus. So Jesus didn't need to. He identified with us, plunged into humanity, sinful humanity, so that when he rose again, we can be plunged into his new man, his new life, apart from sin. Hallelujah. This is a powerful truth. Powerful, powerful, powerful truth. Hallelujah. See, until we understand this and get baptized, see, we are forgiven, but we get dragged around by sinful nature all the time. How are we going to do the will of God? So baptism marks the cutaway point from the past and from all that. So as Jesus get baptized, what happened? Who doesn't need to be get baptized? He went into the water, plunged into us, and what happened? There was a blessing that came down from heaven. Three that I can see from here. Well, in Luke's gospel, Jesus didn't just get baptized and came up. He baptized and came up, and Jesus did what? He prayed. He prayed. It's a, you know, it was a joy, right? Just about a month ago, we baptized one Korean girl. She came out, and we prayed, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit as well and spoke with unknown tongues, languages of that's given from God. See? So Jesus was praying. In Luke's gospel, you can see Jesus praying 9 times. This is the first one. And as Jesus prayed, the Holy Spirit came down. Anointing from God came down on Jesus as he went on praying after baptism. He says, cloud parted, heavens were open. And then Holy Spirit fluttered down like a dove. Can you think about, see the dove, like a pure, speaks of purity and holiness, and settled upon Jesus. Hallelujah. And the John the Baptist saw it. And then Jesus saw it. Matthew and Mark says Jesus saw the Holy Spirit in bodily form coming down, resting on him. And then John's Gospel says John saw the Holy Spirit come down and resting upon Jesus. In other words, they were seeing into the Spirit. They both saw the same Holy Spirit coming down and then resting upon Jesus and remaining on him. The pure, Holy Spirit of God from heaven. Until this time, most of the time when you see Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is like wind. Somebody asked that. What's the Spirit? It's like a wind. You can feel the effect of it, but you can't see him most of the time. But this time, Holy Spirit, it was a definite, literal seeing of the Holy Spirit coming as a dove and resting upon Jesus. And before this, Jesus didn't do anything. After this baptism and the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, the next time you see Jesus preaching in Isaiah 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus quoted that because the Holy Spirit on me, and his sermon was very short. "This sermon is fulfilled at your hearing." And then Jesus began to do the work of God. People were getting healed, blind was getting seeing, and then demons were being cast out. See? The Holy Spirit came on Jesus and equipped Jesus to do everything that Father wanted Jesus to do. So baptism is really important. Both water baptism and then spirit baptism prepares us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And how much more, God the Father says, how much more if you ask the Holy Spirit, Father will not give you the wrong thing. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit continually because we leak. We are leaking vessels, right? I find that, you know, when there is a special meetings, you know, special, you know, thing, and there's just power move through, I go, wow! 2 months later, I try to do the same thing until you're filled of the Holy Spirit. The same thing doesn't happen because we leak all the time. But Jesus didn't leak. Holy Spirit came and the dove never fluttered away because Jesus was walking in perfect obedience and perfect fellowship with the Father. And I want to encourage us, church, I want to encourage you. You want to do the will of God. It doesn't have to be like, you know, whatever it is, whether it's going to mission or touching somebody, you need Holy Spirit. You need power from on high to get the job done. So we've got to seek the Holy Spirit. And let's receive, let's believe God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God will use you, use me. Every single person ought to be baptized in water and ought to be baptized in the Spirit and be filled with the power of God. Amen? And it's the only way to walk in power. Hallelujah. But with it, that's not only it. See, in the past, we've seen some anointed ministries fall. After powerful meetings, sometimes they go home and they do weird things. And then this is very important. Threefold blessing that came to Jesus. Number one was Holy Spirit came, empowered Jesus. But then the second and third one is the Father's voice came and assurance of who Jesus is came. This is your identity. Father, speak our identity and it makes you rock solid. Father said, "This is my beloved son. Do you know that you are sons?" Well, sons and daughters, but in original, we're all spiritual sons, male and female. And male and female, we are also all bride of Christ, right? So we are sons. We are beloved sons. Do you know that? Who are you? So, you know, ministry is not something to prove that you are someone special. You already are someone special. I already am someone special. So ministry and serving God and doing things for God and living life is not so that I can prove my life is worth something. I'm not trying to reach something that I am not. I'm not trying to prove or pretend to and become someone I am not. I already am. And God the Father delights in me. He says, "You are in you I am well pleased." So Father's assurance came. And then Father's approval came. Father's pleasure came. Before Jesus did anything, Jesus knew he doesn't have to do stuff to please God, because Jesus, by being who he is, he pleased God perfectly. He says, "I am well pleased. You always please me. When I think about you, I am always smiling. When I think about you, I am, you know, all my affection, the core center of my affection is in you." Because Jesus was a perfect son. He never disobeyed God. He was in perfect communion with God. His heart was always for the Father, never for himself. And God the Father's heart is always, always filled with Jesus, and he's always rejoicing, full of joy. And from that basis, see, you see Jesus moving in to serve God. This is really important, isn't it? How do you know that you, who you are, who you are? You can look at the mirror and say, "Ah, I am a son. I'm not a..." And then every day you can get up, you know, "I'm special. Oh, yeah, I look good, I'm handsome, I'm tall, I'm, you know, can say all these things, which is all right, but is there a conviction? Who brings you conviction who you are? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God by which we cry out, "Abba, Father, I am your child." So Holy Spirit comes on you. And then through the Holy Spirit, you know who you are. See, 6 weeks later, devil came to tempt Jesus. What did he say? "If you are the Son of God..." I'm getting ahead of myself. That's, you know, next week. But "if you are Son of God, do this, prove this, do this, do that, do that, do the other. Show me you are powerful. Show me you are special." And Jesus said, "Be quiet. Shut your face." You know, it is written. It is written. See, are you satisfied in your relationship with God? Do you know God sings over you with joy? Because this is critical before we try to do things. Critical that we know who we are, and just being who we are is enough. When your heart is satisfied in relationship with God, that's when God is most glorified. That's when your glory, the presence and power flows most. And the devil does not have any foothold in you. He cannot make you do stuff, because you're secure in God, who you are. And from there, you serve God out of gratitude. So that was Jesus' pattern. You know, I find sometimes, you know, we go into this ministry, that ministry, full-time ministry, that, and get titles and recognitions and so on, and we don't have enough foundation. That becomes a burden, pain. That becomes trap. That becomes terrible thing, heavy yoke. You know, reputation is a heavy yoke. You don't want any reputation. You wanna run from reputation. You don't want more authority, if you understand what it is. If God calls you to it, you will take it. But you don't want to show off anything. But we don't need to know who we are. Amen? Absolutely. See, do you know baptism actually has to do with your new identity, both water baptism and spirit baptism? Water baptism has to do with burying your sinful identity. Devil uses it all the time. "Hey, I know who you are. You're just Mia. I know your real thing. Underneath, you look holy, you act holy." I mean, Mia is really holy, but But you know, husband and wife sometimes, yeah, you try to serve God and go, yeah, let's see how long you last. You know, I know what's underneath. I've been living with you. No. You are brand new in Christ. Who you really are underneath who you really are is a child of God. Your son and a daughter, you are bringing God enormous pleasure by just breathing and being alive. And when you are baptized, you're saying you are baptized into Jesus. All of Jesus' perfect obedience becomes yours. So how can God stop singing over you? Hallelujah. How can God be depressed over you? How can God just tolerate you? God is rejoicing over you because God sees the end from the beginning. He knows, even though you may not be what you want to be, God knows what God called you to be in Christ. So time is on your side. If you stay with God and allow God to speak to you, see, some said it thundered for some people. The voice of God came saying, "You are my beloved in whom I am well pleased." Do you think Jesus needed to hear that? Who needs to hear that? We need to hear this. I need to hear this. When I feel like, you know, I'm not doing so well last 5 years, like, you know, oh, my friends are doing well, but I'm not doing well. You need to hear voice from heaven through the Holy Spirit. You are my beloved son. In you, I take full pleasure. And then we begin to God, prayer and time with God becomes pleasure, becomes joy. And God strengthens you for who you are, your identity. Ooh, I took too much time on this. But this is so important, isn't it? So all Trinity attended Jesus' baptism. God the Father's voice was there. Holy Spirit came on Jesus. Jesus was getting baptized. All Trinity attends every baptism. Amen? Attends your baptism. Because the day you die and the day that Christ lives in you, day you make a decision. See, it's Jesus' decision. It's got to be every person's decision to be baptized. Nobody can force anybody to get baptized. But the first thing when you say, I want to follow Jesus, put my past behind, is to you bury yourself. Bury the dead out of sight and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus did. And then now, family tree comes. Jesus' family tree comes. Two questions. Number one, why is Jesus' family presented in connection to Jesus' baptism instead of his birth? Like Matthew. Isn't that weird? Why would your family tree be mentioned at baptism? Question number two, Matthew and Luke's family tree do not follow the same line. So what's happening? Let's attack the second question first. Luke gives line from Adam to Abraham. Matthew does not. Matthew stops with Abraham. All right, I don't have the thing. See, this Matthew, and that's Luke. Matthew stops at Abraham, but Luke goes all the way to Adam. And then between Abraham to David is the same line, but from David to Joseph takes two different lines. So I'm not going to spend too much time. Option number three, different options are possible, two different lines. Intermarriage might have been involved. Most scholars don't think so. Second one is that maybe a mother became a widow, one of the Hillites, you know, and so on, without children, and her brother-in-law married her with new children. Possible, but unlikely. Here is a lot of people believe, see, Matthew's line follows Joseph, Luke's line follows Mary. And in fact, you see a little bracket line as a, you know, he says, verse 23, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being as was supposed to be the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. See, Luke have a very clear account of the birth of Jesus. There is no real bloodline connection. Jesus is supposed to be the son of Joseph, but really is through Mary. So I take that one. If you have a different view, we will see each other in heaven. So don't worry. All right. So it's fine. We're going to just move on from there. All right. See, the family line is really important, especially if you have a royal bloodline or priestly bloodline. They trace it very carefully. It's to do with what call of God is on your life. So why does Luke trace back the bloodline of Jesus here all the way back to Adam? See, number one, Jesus is not some mythological demigod that came out of nowhere. He is a real man, real person with flesh and blood. Hallelujah. He's one of us, one of you, without sin. Jesus, when Jesus decided to become a man for you and me to save us, he really became a man following a human family tree line and remained to be part of human being for the rest of eternity. Isn't that crazy? It's incredible love. Hallelujah. So we know exactly that Jesus is not myth, it's not demigod, but he is a man. He's the Son of God. And then it goes all the way back to David, because Jesus is the promised king. Because God spoke again and again, through David's seed, God will bring king forever and ever. So Jesus is not only a man, he's the king. He is the Messiah. He is the promised king that will be there forever. But it also goes all the way back to Adam, not just stops at Abraham. Why? Because Jesus is not just king for Jews. Jesus is king for all humanity. Gentiles, Australians, South Africans, Koreans, Maltese. Yeah. Everywhere. Chinese, Sri Lankans, hallelujah. Filipinos, yeah, hallelujah. Jesus is king for all. But you know, in the end, he says, Adam, son of God. Adam was the son of God. You and I are created to be God's children. It's a nonsense. I get fed up, you know, some documentary saying that we come from chimpanzees. There's nothing in common. DNA is completely different. We are God's children. Amen? Hallelujah. We tell people, you're coming from the animal. People act like an animal. We are never created or come from animal. We come from God. Hallelujah. So the next question is, why then Luke connects Jesus' baptism to his family tree? Because baptism is the crossover point from horizontal line and the vertical line. See, your genealogy, where you come from, your parents, all that is an important part of your history. But at baptism, you bring where you are from God's call, God's genealogy, Jesus' tree, family tree. You get connected to that. And then two crosses at baptism. And at baptism, you are putting one above the other. We are bringing where you're from, but you're saying, you know what, from now on, where I come from, all my family problem, curse, sin, it doesn't matter. I get connected straight to Jesus' line. And until our family tree, your historical background, your family, gets aligned and connected with the core, vertical line, God's family tree, God's salvation history, we are not useful. Where we come from cannot make eternal sense. Our life is not filled with God's plan and purposes. We need to bring it alignment with God's family tree. You got to allow heaven to invade into your family line, into your trees, where you're coming from, all your personality makeup. Amen? And that's when we start anew. So that's Jesus. But I want to close it with prayer. I want to close it with prayer. Wherever you're coming from, you know what? I'm not saying you dishonor your family tree. You don't dishonor where you're coming from. God planned it. But something needs to happen. Blood of Jesus Christ needs to be severed, cleanse your life from that line. And you need to be connected to Jesus. And it's done by faith. And it is done when you say, you know what? I'm not going to live for my family line, my horizontal plans. I'm going to connect with the voice of God. You know, you may be 30, 20, 15, 50 or more. It doesn't matter. Jesus identified with us so that we can identify with Him and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then from now on, God's voice can control you. God's voice can lead you. Amen. Why don't we stand? Let's pray. Jesus. And if, you know, anyone who hasn't been baptized, you, if you want to be baptized, I want you to, you know, come and talk to me after this. Baptism means dunking, going immersed in. You get dunked, plunged into Jesus and saying, God, Father, whatever you have for me, I want to live according to that. Whatever my family obligations, my natural inclination, I don't care. I want to do the Father's will. God, you've given me this life, this body, so that I can do your Father's will, Father. So when you make that decision, that's what baptism is. Hallelujah. So let's do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this passage. Lord Jesus, who doesn't need to be baptized, He became one with us. He showed us His way. Lord, He's gone through the baptism. And Lord, the Holy Spirit was given. Father's voice, identity was given. Father's approval was given. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, went about doing good. So Lord, as your church, as your holy people, called by your name, we come before you. Father God, Lord, I bring all I am, where I am from. Lord, I pray that you will connect me with the divine line of Jesus' family tree. Let vertical line bisect my horizontal line. And Lord Jesus, Father's call from heaven, take precedence over every claim, every other claim on my life, including mine. That we will all be filled with God, filled with anointing, filled with identity, authority, filled, oh God, with confidence, filled with your pleasure, and successfully accomplish your will in our lives. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, everyone who prayed this and agreed with this, Father, I pray that you release your Holy Spirit, release your anointing. Father, release your blessing, Father's blessing, for identity, for assurance, Father God, for joy and power in the name of Jesus. All the closed doors, I command it to be open in the name of Jesus. As we put the will of God first priority of our lives, Father God, I pray, Lord, all the right doors be open. Amen. Closed doors be open. And all the wrong doors be closed. And Father, Holy Spirit, that you give discernment and leading and abiding presence of God. And with this we pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Okay, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you.